This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it's 14 games down, two to go to conclude week two in the NFL. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Los Angeles. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I don't know over the next 2 hours if we're going to have anything to talk about. Maybe, I guess. We could probably come up with some storylines from what the hell happened yesterday. What's going on, bro?
Did you ever watch Sanford and Son on television?
Of course.
Fred G. Sanford, and the G always stood for something different every week, you know, and he said, oh, I'm having a heart attack. I mean, that's kind of what it was. I'm having a heart attack. I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth. I mean, like, whoa. And I know where you want to go. I know how you are. I know how
you want
to start this.
Oh, really?
You want to start this on Tua because he was magnificent, and that's where we're going to go. So feel free. Go ahead.
Pardon me. I have a cold, but I'm laughing because, look, I actually wrote down what was proved yesterday by Tua with the six touchdowns is that McDaniel can scheme him up and that they have the perfect talent around him with all that speed. Because I swear to you, and again, I'm not a hater with a Z. We're not collecting receipts here.
I will tell you.
Every single ball was underthrown. Weird.
Look,
anywho,
every ball was like he was at Alabama. Put the Alabama uniforms back on, okay? Like, that was all the throws we saw him make at Alabama. Guys wide open. Wide open, okay?
Yes, sir.
Like, Mike McDaniel, we got to have a talk. I mean, we got to have a serious conversation. That's Tyreek Hill over there. You're going to let him run off the line. Oh, here I come. Here comes Tyreek. Let's let him build speed up and go, right? I mean, oh, my God, Patrick. It might have been coaching malpractice at the highest level in that game in the fourth quarter. I mean, think about this, Patrick. They scored 28 points in 21 minutes.
Yeah.
No, excuse me. 28 points in 21 plays. Forget the minutes.
That's 21 plays. 21 plays. Yes, that's exactly right. I'm aware. The number closed. Let's see. Let's take a look. So the number closed 3. It was sitting 3.5, as you and I know. Baltimore laying it. Excuse me. That's last week. The number that's I'm looking at yesterday. Okay. The number actually ended up closing 3.5, correct?
Right.
Is that
never
what you
moved,
had
right?
On the closer?
It never moved.
No, it never moved. It never moved.
We kept saying on the show that we didn't know the injury situation. We kind of were back and forth on it. You know, it was one of those we weren't sure. And it closed that way. And it was a game I didn't really want to touch because I wasn't sure how – I mean, I never visualized that Baltimore would play that bad of defense. I mean, they run Don Martindale out of there because he's too aggressive. Are you – like, John, watch this tape here now. Can we watch it? I mean, they got guys running wide open. And how about this, the play before the touchdown pass when Tyreek Hill's screaming down the left sideline there, it's an interception that they drop.
I know. Well, I mean, they are banged up. I mean, they're completely banged up, Baltimore on defense. Pardon me, I had the wrong screen up. So Baltimore closed 3.5 at most shops. I had one shop closing 3. The total closed 43.5. Of course, a 42-38 winner, Michael, for Miami. They were down 21 in the fourth quarter at Baltimore, end up winning the game. I don't know what – look, as far as starting on this, we have to call out the obvious, and that is Tua, 469 yards, 6 touchdown passes, Waddle and Tyreek Hill, you mentioned. But how about Baltimore? We'll start there, and then we'll get to the obvious stuff. We have actual sound from McDaniel. They wasted a 300-yard passing game and a 100-yard rushing game by Lamar Jackson because that defense was unable to hang in.
I mean, I thought Lamar was sensational. I thought he was great. I really did. I thought it was great. And, you know, of course, this is the secret. You're not allowed to talk about this today, Patrick. You know, because any fourth downs that fail, you're not allowed to talk about, right? You can't talk about those because they're meant to be successful all the time, even though we've seen now, I've seen 3 plays inside the one where, you know, of course, but it's bad calls. That's what it is. It's dumb calls. When you make dumb calls, that's why you get it. The analytics, you can't make a dumb call in the red zone, right? But John Harbaugh goes for it on fourth down. They fumble the snap. Then he goes for it. I think Tucker would have made the field goal, but he didn't try it. He went for it on fourth down, doesn't get it. I mean, those 2 fourth down calls killed him. They killed him.
Don't say it. Hey, be quiet when you're talking about
this.
Don't be verbose.
You're not allowed to talk about the fourth down calls that fail. You only are allowed to talk about the fourth down calls that are successful. that help you win and take those nasty 3 points off the scoreboard. You don't want 3 points. I mean, God forbid if you want 3 points. And oh, by the way, too, Pat.
Yeah,
oh, by the way,
please,
too.
Please.
I mean, just to continue, you know, if you go for it, you got them down there, you pinned them back, you're going to get a field goal anyway. Oh, really?
That's right.
Well, if you let the receiver run down the middle of the field against cover two and you give Tua 18 hours to throw the ball and he hits the receiver and it goes for 75, how's that working out for you?
The dogs were barking. They were 8-3-1 against the spread yesterday. We had six outright winners. We're talking about one with Miami here. The unders continue to cash. They're 29-1 on the season. 5-0 in primetime games. We'll get to the two primetime games tonight. I got a good one for you. I'm just throwing these at you just to make you laugh. So Tua became just the second quarterback ever to throw four touchdowns on the road in the final quarter. Joe Montana in 89 being the other. I mean, he is going to Canton. He is going to Canton.
I mean, he and Joe are very similar. I could see it. I was around Joe. I could see it. I know it. I see it. I see it. I do. I was around Joe. I know it. I can sense it. I know that. And look, you know, look.
You get similar vibes
great.
With Tua? Yeah, you get
no
cool
doubt,
Joe
no
and,
doubt.
And Tua. You get similar vibes. I do, too. After one game, I absolutely
throw.
Do.
I thought he made it on 3rd and 13 in the red zone. For some reason, God, I don't know why. And I'm not picking on Mike McDaniel here, but I got to pick on Mike McDaniel. I don't know him, but I watched his tape, and it's not pretty. And so 3rd and 13 in the red zone, he rushes two. And the two guys go like they're kind of guard the sideline. And the Red Sea has been parted. And Moses, i.e. Tua, steps up into the Red Sea. He's got like a lane of, I mean, he could throw the ball. There wasn't anybody near him. And he throws it to Gesicki in the back of the end zone high, but Gesicki's 6'7", so he makes a great catch. Great play. But there was nobody around him. That game was like when Tua played at Alabama. I mean, I don't care. Look, say what you want about. I mean, I respect people that are Tua fans. That's great. He played great. But I'd like to watch the tape with you and tell me where it was that it was a really hard throw. He's accurate with the football. He really is. But like the guys were wide open. And I credit Miami in this way. Miami decided to borrow the Alabama game plan. We're just going to outskill you to death. And they've got two of the great skill players in the league in Waddle and Hill. And that's how they
and
get
Gesicki.
Wide open. And Gesicki.
Gesicki bailed Tua out on one of those touchdown passes. Let me just clear up one thing, because you know what? I don't like to do this to you with the names, but we've entered the Matrix. It's Mike McDonald. Because it's Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Ravens defensive
corps. Yeah.
But again, it's the only reason I'm clarifying is it's very important here.
Wasn't he
it's
the lead singer
here.
On? Is it Michael? Oh, that's Michael McDonald, the lead singer, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
the guy on
with
the Doobie
the
Brothers,
deep
right?
Voice. Yes, yes.
Yeah, the Doobie Brothers.
That's
yeah.
So
great white hair.
McDonald
I wish I had white
McDonald's
hair like that. Yeah.
So do I. We all do. A little salt and pepper never hurt anybody. McDonald's the guy they brought in from Michigan to run the defense. They got rid of Wink, who's now with the Giants. Mike McDaniel is the head coach of the Dolphins. Stephen Bond, let's get it ready, because Mike McDaniel talked about Tua bringing this Dolphins team back.
I mean, this is huge because he stopped worrying about the last play and he went and played and took his responsibility serious to his teammates about, hey, I'm going to lead this team confidently. It is what you get into sports for. It is as cool for the coaching staff and him like that. It was coming to life. I think it was a moment that he'll never forget that hopefully he can use moving forward, because we didn't have the strongest. We basically had to play perfect complementary football to come back from a deficit like that against a really good team.
Cowabunga, dude. Did the Dolphins win the Super Bowl yesterday? That is what I'm just checking. Let me look under this paper. Did they win the Lombardi? No, I don't think they did. Oh, my gosh. Listen, let me just say this. We're overreacting.
Go ahead.
He played great. He played great. But Michael's not clowning him. I'm not clowning Tua. Congratulations. You hit a bunch of open receivers. It's week two of the NFL. We just need to slow down and understand it's a long season. Let's give Tua the proper season, and we'll grade him at the end of it. That's all. He played great.
You know,
that's fine.
I Lamar played great, too. But I think partly within Lamar playing great, I think one of the things besides John Harbaugh insisting on going for it on fourth down but don't tell anybody, was the fact that the Ravens, when you break down the explosive play chart of the game, right, each team had six explosive plays, which are plays over 20 yards, which you need plays over 20 yards to score touchdowns. I mean, all this, I got to run the football, doesn't get you anywhere. You need explosive plays in the passing game. And so the Ravens had six explosive plays. Three of them went for touchdowns. They were like one play drives. And then you add the kickoff return to start the game, right? So they never really milked the clock. They never controlled the game because they were making one play. Lamar runs power off tackle on third and one, and next thing you know, he's in the end zone. Touchdown. You know, and then they hit Bateman on a slant. Next thing you know, he's in the end zone. And then the same thing happened. Drop a coverage. I mean, what was Kyle Hamilton doing? What was he doing there? Peters is playing outside technique, and Hamilton's 8 yards away from Tyreek Hill. You know, you're not at Notre Dame. That ain't the Marshall receiver coming towards you. That's Tyreek Hill.
Also, the game was over. Lamar had that sneak for the touchdown that was reversed. And then the fumble turned the ball over. We're going back the underway. Look, again.
Oh, but Patrick, Dolphins are once you go for it inside the one, you'll get the ball back there again. It's not a problem. Why not? You'll get the ball. It doesn't matter. You're going to get the ball back there again. It's okay. It's okay.
Congratulations to the Dolphins. All kidding aside, they're 2-0. They've got explosive talent on offense.
Rare talent.
That is helping Tua stay afloat. I'm totally playing. Anyway, that wasn't the only comeback. How about the Cardinals down 20? How about the Jets down 13, under 2 minutes to go? We're back with it. It's Lombardi Line on a Monday.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring that state-issued ID. Open your account. You're ready to go. Whatever your sport, whatever your style, you're going to love it at BetMGM. Got to be 21 years or older. Physically located in Nevada. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Again, Stephen Bond is fired up. His Bills tonight laying doubles at home, Tennessee. You know, people are off Tennessee. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher here. This, of course, is the Lombardi Line. Minnesota at Philly. That game I can't wait for. That's up to double. So it's 10 in Buffalo. Actually, I just saw DraftKings went to 9.5. DraftKings is the only book showing 9.5. But look at the totals. We killed it with our underplays yesterday, Michael, but we got two nosebleeds today. You got a 47.5 in Buffalo, and you've got a 48.5 in Philly.
I mean, a 47, and the team's a 10-point dog.
That's right. Off the 50 opener, by the way.
Off the 50 opener. Like, look, I think the game has to be under for the Tennessee Titans to have any chance to win. Look, they went out to Los Angeles last year kind of with no chance to win, and they did. I mean, I laid the 10 only with the same reason I laid the 7 or 6.5 when Mike Tomlin went to Cincinnati last week. I'm going to go with the coach here. Do I think the Tennessee wins tonight? No, I don't. But I do think if Gabriel Davis doesn't play, and I don't know what his injury status is, come off the non-contact injury, which doesn't sound good, right? He's questionable. So for me, like, I'm not sure. You know, where that is. I think Henry's got to run the ball. They got to be physical. One thing about Buffalo, we saw New England go in there in the win game. Now, that was a win game. I understand that. But they were physical and could run the ball. We'll see if they can handle that. But I think that's the pace that you have to play the game. Here's what I do believe, though, Patrick, after week two of the season. I think week two of the season, you now know, have a better idea. I don't think you know, but I think you have a better idea. The difference between 0-2 and 2-0. I mean, the Carolina Panthers are 0-2, and they're 4 points away from being 2-0? Okay, the Raiders had a chance to win two games. We'll talk about that in a second, and yet they're 0-2. I think it's about week three of the season is about figuring out who you are as a team, whether you're 2-0 or 0-2. I think you got to figure out who you are, and then you've got to make sure that's the direction you go, because all these jobs are about understanding what's important. And now you know. Now you kind of have been around the players a lot to know what they're capable of doing when the games matter.
Seven teams started 0-2 last year. None made the postseason. I'm just saying. Hey, Michael, by the way, before we get, we're going to get to the Cardinals and Raiders in just a little bit. My favorite, and it's weird, it's kind of ironic, but my favorite situation of week two was Kingsbury taking a delay of game on that 2-point conversion. That dude is freaking clueless. We'll get to him in a second.
Here's what I would say about that. I think it helped him. I think that's a good point.
The play
call, I think it gave him more room. I would have declined it. I know that sounds crazy, but as soon as it happened,
say Raiders should have declined.
I said, man, that's not good. It's more space for him to operate.
Interesting.
It's more that's space. Like, it looks foolish, but if you're trying to call plays from the two in, it's a lot harder game. You know, you can't. You got to get rid of the ball quicker. You know, you can't. You're limited. I know that's the problem with the red zone. That's why Mike McDonald was rushing two guys against two. He was trying to pack the back of the end zone. I actually thought it was a smart play. I thought it was a smart play.
I can't wait for the pay-per-view of Nathaniel Hackett and Cliff Kingsbury playing chess against one another. Anywho, let's get to the Jets. Down 13, under 2 minutes to go. Obviously, it's been talked about what happened with Chubb. Chubb goes down with about 2 minutes to go. They could run out the clock. He doesn't. He scores. And here we are. The Jets ended up closing 6-point dogs, 6.5-point dogs at a bunch of shops yesterday off the 5.5 opener. They're a 31-30 winner. It's something that happened. It hasn't happened. Come back with that short amount of time, down 13 in what, 21 years? So yeah, it was miraculous, to say the least.
I mean, look, we can say it's on Chubb, but that's where the analytical community wants you to kind of, you should have gone down. You're up 2 touchdowns with under 2 minutes to go. What are the chances of losing the game? You got to do everything wrong from that moment forward, okay? And the number one thing you got to do wrong is give up a cheap touchdown. Give up a one-play, two-play touchdown, which they did. Okay, the other thing you got to do wrong is not get the onside kick, which they didn't do. I mean, Amari Cooper's sitting right there on the return. The other thing, and go back, you got to miss the extra point, right? So, how many of those things are going to ever happen again? I get it. Yeah, he should have gone down, but you're going up 2 touchdowns with under 2 minutes. If you got a 2-touchdown lead with under 2 minutes, are you ever thinking you have any chance to win? Of course you're not. You got maybe a less than 1% chance to win this thing. But, okay, you get the kickoff. You blow a coverage, which you should never do. You should never do. And there's Corey Davis running down the sideline, touchdown. Now you got your hands team out there. You got to get the ball back. You don't get it. And now you're doomed. Now you're in trouble. Now you're playing on the ropes. I mean, I thought going through my sheets this morning, I mean, Cleveland did everything that they should have done right. They got, they were able to get, I think they got 13 first downs in the fourth quarter. 13 first in the fourth quarter with a lead. I took the Jets, Patrick, as you know, in this game, but this is one of those I thought my handicap was wrong. I thought it was going to be a low-scoring game. I never thought it was going to be this 31-30. I didn't think it was getting to 61. I thought it was going to be, 17-13. The Jets would cover.
Remember,
I thought they would lose.
The total dropped to 38.5 off the 42 opener. So you were on the right path. Let me just say a couple things and let you jump in. First off, the Jets are going to have a decision to make. Flacco gives them a better opportunity to win football games this year throughout the rest of the year than Wilson. I think that's fair, right?
I mean, if he doesn't turn the ball over, I know he's a statue. But if he doesn't turn the ball over, he can make some plays. I mean, the guy was 53% on third down. I mean, he had 53% on third down. And so he made a couple throws, but it took a perfect execution of the game. I mean, Patrick, Cleveland had 64 rushes and completions in the game. Their execution was off the charts. Off the charts. And they lost. I mean, this is one of those where, how did we lose that? We should have never lost that. But they did.
Stefanski even brought his kids down. You saw that? Poor guy.
No.
The head coach, obviously, of the Browns, those last few minutes, he brought his kids down. He's got seven or eight. I think he had about 23 kids, but he had all his kids behind him. And he brought them down to celebrate, and all of a sudden they give it up. You know, Flacco got hot in those final two. It was just, I agree with you about Chubb. A little too much is being made of it. I mean, that's a gambler's thing where we look at it and say, hey, you got to go down there. Chubb gets paid off numbers, so I understand. I respect him for going in there a little bit. But you can't, listen, this hadn't happened in, 2,500 games, what transpired in this one. So
it could never happen again. Like, it's never going to happen again. I mean, it's a fluke. And I'm happy because whoever took the Jets on my advice and got the 6.5, God bless, I'm happy for you. You know, I'm not happy the way the game handicapped for myself because I actually thought the Jets would move the ball on them a little bit. I thought the Jets defense would play better than they did. That's where I was disappointed in the game. And, you know, especially when you look, Cleveland was 66% on third down in the game. They were 8-for-12 on third down. They were 4-for-5 in the red area. They had 5 explosive plays in the game. I mean, what more could they do? Well, Amari Cooper could have stepped up and maybe perhaps given up a little bit to get the onside kick. That would have been nice, Mr. Cooper. Since we're paying you $20 million, can you go get that ball for us, please?
Hey, one thing I will tell you, it's one of your 4-packs. You love the Jets catching 6.5. Let's forget the total. Forget the 61 points. You were all over that 6.5. So congratulations.
I was. You know, it's funny, too, and I think this is kind of an interesting segue to that. We still have time for it. But, you know, it's like I gave out 3 picks to Russo on Friday afternoon. I gave out New England at 3, but that went to I gave New England at minus two. It went to 3, so I didn't give that out on Sunday, okay, because it wasn't the same number. I took Jacksonville +4, and it went to 3 on Friday. And then, like an idiot, I took the Commodores. And so, you know, and that was stupid. They had 6 possessions in the first half, 6 punts and a safety. I mean, that was really brilliant on my part.
Well, it actually proves a couple of things. This can be our pro tip. Become a VSiN pro. By the way, become a VSiN pro because Steve Mackinnon has a great bet system tonight. He's got Minnesota favored in Philadelphia. You can go to VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up. But what you just said is our tip. Look, if you wait until 10 minutes before kickoff, you're going to lose over the long haul of the season. You're going to get the worst of the number for the most part. Again, these numbers, and that's what you're illustrating right there. The numbers change so much from Friday to Sunday. Think about what happens from Monday to Sunday. If you're just waiting for 5 minutes, you're screwed.
It's all about trying to pick where is the number going and being on the side of where you don't want to run. You want to be on the side where the number's going away. You want to be on the good side. That's the key to betting.
And I understand, that's exactly right. And I understand it's relative. But again, you're going to be grasping at numbers if you wait until 10 minutes before kickoff, and that's what 85% of the public does. We're coming back with the Cards, and we're coming back with Trey Lance. We're just getting started. Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, here's all you need to know. VSiN pros made money this weekend, both in college and pro football. You can become a VSiN Pro, and you get the picks, you get 24/7 video, you get season prep. It's essentially you become part of the team. Why wouldn't you want to be part of the team? Come on, let's hang. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. Remember, it's 50% off now, and you get everything we offer, including Lombardi's articles that drop exclusively for $175. That goes through the Super Bowl. Pro college football betting guides. Point Spread Weekly, which drops every Wednesday. I mentioned the betting systems. Mackinnon tonight has Minnesota favored. The only way you know that system is if you become a VSiN pro. VSiN.com/subscribe. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher here. It's just so much fun. Yesterday was, even if you're on the wrong side of it,
it's too early.
Samish texted me. He goes, this product delivers. This product delivers every week.
It's too early to get it, all upset about it. I mean, look, it's a game. It's going to be, I have 2 sons in it. They're both 0-2. I feel my heart's out to them both. You know, they've both been in close games. They both lost. But the NFL is a journey of mental toughness. And if you're not going to take part in that journey, then you got to get out of it because it's a challenge. And these games are so close. And the Giants, as an example, have been able to avoid losing. They haven't really won a game. They've avoided losing. Credit to them. Again, I'm not saying this dismissively, but that's the way the NFL is. More games are lost than more games are won. And it's so close. It's so close.
You mentioned the Giants. You mentioned the Giants. How about our buddy Thomas Gable, who joins us? He runs the Race and Sportsbook. He's our partner here on the Lombardi Line there at the Borgata. You would assume, Michael, with the dogs and unders winning out yesterday, that Thomas Gable won. But this is a very important lesson. It's regional as well with the betting. Remember, he lost on the Giants and Jets. We say hi to Thomas. You want to start there, Thomas, with the Giants and Jets?
Yeah, sure. We can start there. So the Giants were a worse result for us than the Jets were. Really needed the Panthers in that game. And that was a game that you saw the Giants opened as favorites. You know, sharper money pushed the Panthers to close as a 1-point favorite. But, you know, we had a decent amount bet on the Giants in that. And same with the Jets and the Browns. Browns opened a 6.5-point favorite. They closed as a 6-point favorite. Jets win outright there. Certainly kind of improbable fashion. A lot has been made about that already. But those two games, and then the other early game that kind of did us in was the Colts and the Jaguars. Jacksonville ended up +3 there to close. The Colts did open up laying 4 points where we opened the line, but lots of bigger bets on the Jags, +3.5. And of course, Colts were never really in that game. And I don't know if you guys have touched on them at all, but this is a team that a lot of people were very high on coming into this season, heavily favored to win their division. How much trouble are they in at this point with Matt Ryan? A lot of people have been talking about his arms at this point, but also concerning is the offensive line.
Yeah, no doubt. Thomas, count me as one of those people that were buying the I said on my podcast, we have an award called the David Ogilvy Award, which is an advertising award, which is fraudulent. Who's the fraudulent team? And they're the David Ogilvy team of the week. I mean, they are fraudulent. I was wrong. I step right up to the plate and say it. The area of strength that I thought they held was offensive line, and by Lord, did they get killed yesterday. I mean, you could say whatever you want, and I know there's a lot of quarterback experts out there that have never coached the position but can evaluate them. But, I mean, Matt Ryan never has a chance. I mean, he's getting the crap beat out of him. You play quarterback behind that.
Totally agree. They couldn't run the ball either. It's right now the Colts are a disaster. 0-1-1. I get Pittman wasn't there, their best receiver, and Pierce wasn't there. But there's two quarterbacks to Thomas's point, Michael, that look kind of a little older and slower. Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan right now. Russell Wilson, to me, does not look right. We'll get to him in a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick, to your point on running the ball, they didn't really even try to run the ball. Jonathan Taylor only
They're catching up.
Carries. Yeah. They only nine carries for Taylor in a game. That's not a winning recipe for the Indianapolis Colts.
That's 100%
by the
right.
way, Patrick, this just come in. The NFL suspended Mike Evans for next week's game against Carolina.
Are you serious?
Yeah, mm-hmm, just came in.
No kidding. Wow. Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Ian Rappaport reported on Twitter.
Wow. What happened in that one for you, TG? 2010 winner for Tampa Bay. The first half was a dud. Me and Michael had the under in this game. Easy cash. It was 3-3 at the half. Mm-hmm. Where'd you go there?
Yeah, that one was an okay result. Of the early games, that one was decent. The Ravens, not so much. It was kind of a wash. Lions was okay. Congratulations to you, Patrick, on your Lions.
Thank
winning
you, buddy.
There.
Appreciate you.
The offense looks okay. The offense looks okay there. So, and the Patriots Steelers, that game didn't do us any favors either. Saw the line move with the Patriots there, opened as a 1-point favorite, closed as a 3-point favorite. And we ended up needing the Steelers in that one. So, not a good result there. And then in the later games, when you looked at them, no real big decisions in the later games, I would say, aside from the night game with the Packers. People were certainly laying the 10 there with the Packers. The worst result of those games actually was the Cardinals and the Raiders. We needed the Raiders, believe it or not, even with the line move. We had some money come in on the Cardinals late, so overall not a winning day. Certainly wasn't horrible day by any means, but the bettors got some back from what they lost on week one.
You know, TG, when we sat there at the Borgata, we talked about where we felt like the people that have great algorithms for the game, they were on two games yesterday. They were on the Patriots, and they moved that number from two up to three. And they were on Jacksonville, moved that number from four down to three. And I think that's kind of they weren't on every game. And we talked about this yesterday. They were not on every game. And if you followed them late, you pushed on the Steeler game. Now, if you took their advice on the Jag game, you won easily. But I think that's so important. Like, you know, there's a reason that don't be late to the number party.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely.
By the way, that game last night, I'm an NFC North guy, fellas. That was so boring. I'm sorry. It's just that division, those teams, aesthetically, it didn't play. I don't know what it is. Anyway, sorry I interrupted you, Thomas. Michael reported, and it's true, looks like Mike Evans is suspended for a game after that altercation with Lattimore yesterday. We'll have more on that coming up here on the Lombardi Line. Tonight, what are you going to need? I got Tennessee, Buffalo. I got Buffalo laying 10, and I got Philly laying 2.5. Let's start with the later game because that's regional for you.
Yeah, big game here, Vikings and Eagles. And Eagles, 2.5-point favorites. That's right where we opened it. The total has come down. And we've seen actually a total come down in both these games. So the Eagles and Vikings open up 51 for the total. Now that's down to 49. Ticket count is virtually even. And more money right now on the Vikings here. I'm sure that's going to change as we go throughout the day and get closer to kickoff. But I expect a very heavy handle on this game. This was one where, listen, the Eagles have one of the easiest schedules in football this year. But when the schedules came out, this was one that I had circled where this is going to be a game that the Eagles are going to have problems with. And I'm probably higher on the Vikings than a lot of people this year. In fact, in my power rankings, I actually have the Vikings should be favored in this game. But from how they looked in week one there against Green Bay, this is just going to be a great game to watch, I think.
I think it is too, Thomas, and I think that, you know, it's going to come down to, can the Eagles play man-to-man, and will they take Jefferson out of the game, you know, and can they play in the red zone? Last year, they're 28th team in the red zone. This year, they played Detroit. They gave up four touchdowns and four trips into the red zone. So, look, I think the challenge of this game is going to be early. In-game betting may be the play here because can they stop Hurts running the football? And I think the Eagles are like the Utah Jazz. I think they're a hard regular season team to play because this running game is tough to prepare for.
And that's like the Jazz, they wear
the old Utah Jazz. The old Utah Jazz, not this Jazz team.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Like, and I was going to say, they wear super, super short shorts like the old Utah Jazz and John Stockton. So the early one, you know, remember, we're staggered tonight. You get a game starting, then an hour later, two Monday night games. I can't wait. I got BetMGM reporting Bills money and tickets right around 69-70% in between. Where are you with the Bills laying 10?
Yeah, we're probably about 75% of the tickets on the Bills. Money's a little bit more even than that, though. And really, I think this comes down to, can the Tennessee offensive line run block well enough for Henry against this Bills defense? And surprisingly enough, people that are into these stats, Buffalo only 2-9 on Monday Night Football since the year 2000. That's the worst record in the NFL on Monday night. So Bills, not the history not on their side, but they are 10-point favorites.
TG, I know yesterday was a tough day for you. Prayers up, thoughts to you, and we'll talk to you next time. Okay, Thomas? Thank you.
Thanks, TG. All right. Talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
We got to get a control room fit check. We're going to hear from Josh McDaniels next here at Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, football fans can turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Just place a first touchdown score prop on every Monday night football game. The most popular tonight, I believe I saw from BetMGM, were Derrick Henry and then Justin Jefferson. No surprise there. If your bet loses on that first touchdown prop at BetMGM, you're going to get up to $25 back in free bets. It's an offer available all season long, so you can wager confidently and take your game to the next level. BetMGM, it's the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Promotional offer not available. Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Okay, we got you back here. Got a ton to do over the next hour and 15 minutes. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Los Angeles. Okay, let's discuss. And, you know, yeah. I think you said it perfectly. Arizona, 29-23 overtime win. Just shocking. I know a ton of bettors that had money tied up in Las Vegas on the money line. So that's one thing. But why don't we start from just an interesting, because I think you talked about it as far as stick-to-itiveness, fortitude. You know, you've got two sons in prominent roles in the league. They start off 0-2. You've started off 0-2. Many, you know, Tom Brady, others. The greats have started 0-2. This is not an easy league. You got to bring your big boy pants if you're going to play and coach in the league.
No doubt. And you've got to find a way to close out games, right? I mean, yesterday, the Cardinals are down 20-0 at the half, right? So every game that I've ever been involved with in my entire life, I've always at halftime tried to figure out where the game was going, what we needed to win the game. Like, how many points are we going to win the game? And when they walked off the field at halftime, I said to myself, or I said to Bella, she was snoring, I said, we're going to need 27 here. And so that was the – we needed a touchdown in the second half. It would have been too hard for them to get to 28, I thought. So the way they were moving the ball, and it was they weren't making any big plays. So four touchdowns was going to be hard for them to get. And if we didn't turn it over, we got there. And that we got 23 instead of 28. So that really – 27, and that became the problem. And I think they did not convert a third down in the second half. Another problem, you know, and they weren't able to get in their rhythm. And they got fortunate in overtime because I thought they were done once it went to overtime. I thought they were exhausted, and they got fortunate in overtime. And unfortunately, Hunter Renfro, who quietly has had a fumbling problem going back to last year. Last year, we've mentioned it on the show here before. He had six fumbles last year. He's had three in two games. You know, and he's a slot receiver that's going to get hit quite a bit from all different angles. And so, he got away with one. And then he came back and cost him the next one.
Yeah, you're right, Michael. He had fumbled the play before in overtime. His teammate bailed him out, and then he got pegged the scoop, the score the other way. Tale of two halves doesn't really adequately describe this. So 20-0 midway through the third. I joked about Cliff Kingsbury. You can look at his college record. You can look at what happens to his teams late in the season. I don't think he's a very good coach. He took that delay of game on the 2-point conversion, a perfect throw for Murray. See, this is what you get with Murray. He looked dismal in the first half, and then when it became a playground situation and he's running around and he's scoring 2-point conversions on 40-second plays, and he's just kind of YOLO, if that makes sense. Like, it's just like, whatever, we're losing anyway. And then he just lets it rip, and he's super talented.
And he did the same thing against the Chiefs, except the Chiefs kept scoring. That was the difference, right? The Chiefs kept scoring.
Correct.
I mean, the Cardinals had the ball 11 minutes in the fourth quarter. You know, they got, you know, and also the Cardinals benefit. Now, the Raiders had 10 penalties. The Cardinals had 12. There are 22 penalties called in the game. The Cardinals got four first downs on penalties. None bigger. And I couldn't find it when I watched it. And I'm not making excuses, right? I couldn't find it. The holding call in the end zone after the game was over at that play, right? The game was over and they called holding. I never saw it. Did you? I couldn't see it.
No, absolutely not. The play took 2 years. I mean, the idea that they found a hold somewhere in the mix that nothing was shown on tape. Nothing was shown in a replay.
No, I never saw it. I never saw the flag came in and all of a sudden the guy, I thought if anything, he's out of the pocket. You know, and so, look, the Raiders have nobody to blame but themselves, right? They didn't execute in the second half. They had eight plays. They got one first down in the fourth quarter and in the second half on five. I mean, that's just, you can't do it. You can't do that. You got to be able to execute. They were 6 of 11 on third down, but they all happened in the first half. And then really, which I think is important, is they didn't execute in the red zone. I mean, they have chances in the red zone. They can't make red zone. If they score touchdowns instead of kick field goals in the red zone, they're going to win the game easily.
Murray had 252 total yards in the second half and overtime to rally the Cardinals. Let me just say, because Bond just texted me the same thing you said earlier. He said the delay of game was brilliant on the 2-point, allowed Kyler to have more space. Let me be very clear. In the end, it worked out for them. That was not Cliff Kingsbury's initiative there. He ran out of time because he was confused. Okay, let's be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it was premeditated. I agree with you on that.
It was
not. But it did give him more room.
It was not.
And then there was a holding call on that they didn't call. The tackle got grabbed and pulled to the ground. They didn't call it. I mean, so, look, it's the typical Monday sore drone where you complain about the officials. You know, look, when both teams have double-digit penalties called against them, can you really complain? But when you get four first downs on penalties, wait a minute. What's going on here?
Crosby's legit, by the way. But here's the thing.
He is. When you have those, where's Chandler Jones?
Well,
where's Chandler?
That's what I was going to bring that up to you. When Murray's cooking like he was cooking, okay, and you have those edges, it's almost an impossibility. Like, you don't want to over-pursue if you're Crosby.
Yeah.
You know, it's really – he creates a big-time mismatch when he's cooking like that, but he doesn't do that
consistently. If you don't rush him the right way, if you don't rush him inside and keep him in front, and the tackles that they had on the field, their legs looked like they got caught in sand. They by the end of the game – I mean, correct. Look, let's face it. The Cardinals had the ball 36 minutes in the game. When you only have – 8 plays, 1 first down on 6 second half, 5 second half drives, you're not going to win the game. And you're not getting the ball to your best player, right? You can't get, you know, he's been taken out of the game, and so where are we going? And then, you know, the one play in the game that I felt like the Raiders let slip was Carr checks into a play. He knows the coverage. He checks into the play, and he's got Davante Adams wide open, and he throws it 3 yards behind him.
I almost intercepted. I couldn't believe that. And do you think we're going to hear from Josh McDaniels, of course, the Raiders head coach? I thought it was weird. They kind of not necessarily took that. They were controlling the tempo of the game, the Raiders. It looks like did they get conservative in the second half? Did you see something from the game call?
No. I think they couldn't get back into a rhythm. They didn't have the ball. They had a chance when they stopped them on a fourth down play. They got the ball. That's when they needed to. Most of the time, look, when you build a lead in the set, you got to keep scoring. But I didn't think they ever had control of the game offensively. You know, and when you're playing Murray and it gets to be a street game, all bets are off now. That's when he excels, where the Chiefs were able to make enough plays and they kept extending the lead. See, when you have a 20-point lead, you got to keep extending it. You can't. JVT said that people were playing not to lose. I don't think they were playing not to lose. I think they were just – they couldn't make the plays that they needed to make. And they didn't – and I think Josh probably looks at the tape today and said we didn't do well in the red zone. You know, we missed too many throws. And then, of course, naturally, we turned the ball over. They're going to kick a field goal. Even if Renfro doesn't get the first down, I think they're going to kick the field goal and win the game right there.
Of course. They were in. They've got one of the top three kickers in football. Let's hear from Josh McDaniels himself. What went wrong with the Raiders?
I thought, you know, overall, we just didn't produce on early downs the way we did in the first half. You know, we skipped a lot of third down situations in the first half, you know, on the scoring drives. And we had a few third down and longs that we converted in the first half. But then in the second half, you know, when you try to live like that, you know, converting third and 12, third and 13, third and 14, third and 11, it's tough to do that on a consistent basis. So, you know, we'll have to look at what we didn't do as well, you know, in the second half specifically. But at the end of the day, we didn't produce much on early downs, and we found ourselves trying to convert a lot of third and longs.
Do you concur?
I mean, look, I think it's all about execution. I think their execution wasn't what it needs to be. What do I always talk about on execution? What do you go to find out, are you executing, right? Well, you go right to the rushes and completions. And the Raiders only had 46 in the game. Not enough completions, not enough rushes. And so their execution wasn't good enough. And that happens on early downs. And then, like Josh says, you get behind on the down and distance. You know, you get these penalties. You make these stupid decisions, make these stupid mistakes, you know, and they cost you. You know, and they call it back, and all of a sudden, look, they got to focus on what they can improve on and who they want to become. Because as good as Renfro is, as good as he is, you got to be concerned about him fumbling. I mean, he's got, you know, 3 fumbles in 2 games is a worry. It's a worry for you. Now, can he fix it? You hope so, because he's a good player. You hope so, but, you know, you can't risk that. I could say this, you know, if you're in New England and you fumble 3 times in 2 games, you're probably not playing again.
Vegas goes on the road at Tennessee next week. Right now, I've got Vegas laying a point. We shall see. It has been 55 minutes and 23 seconds, and we have not discussed Trey Lance. I don't know how that's possible with the Lombardi line, but we will do it next. He's out for the season. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.